This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've heard so much of the news coming out of British Columbia as storms continue to cause flooding and mudslides all over the province. There's a lot of information to share as that situation evolves, but it's also a very human story. The personal impact that people are feeling is immeasurable, and it does beg a question. How does a natural disaster impact our mental health? Shane Baker is a mental health advocate, and he's also our mental health and wellness columnist and joins us from Vancouver Island. Hey, good morning, Shane. Thank you for making time for us today.
Good morning.
So, Shane, before we dig any deeper into the issue, I know you're on Vancouver Island, but you have connection to people and communities all over the province. How are you and how are your friends and family holding up?
Yeah, I think I'm personally doing well, and I call Victoria home, and so I've been safe throughout everything. Some of my family and some of our friends and some of our, you know, close communities is another call. My mother was actually in Lytton when Lytton was basically burned, and so was our families, and we are very closely linked to Lytton. There was a town, there was a street named after our family, which is the Loring family. You know, my mom has been the head administrator for the Stein Valley Macaquamuck School for, you know, somewhere around 4 or 5 years. And so, you know, this has been extremely hard. It's been extremely difficult to go through this. I feel like me and my family, like my immediate family, my mother, we are just, and I can't even imagine for the people like my mother. I look up to her with an incredible amount of fondness and admiration just for the way that she has held herself and, you know, and the rest of the community members of Lytton, Lytton First Nation, and all of the people affected by floods. You know, my heart really goes out to them. And I think that, kind of going off of what you said, this is a human experience and this is impacting real lives. There's children, there is, you know, family separated. There's elders who've been relocated not once, not twice, not three times, maybe four times. You know, there's community members who were, you know, who started out in Lillooet, ended up over in Kelowna, ended up in Merritt. And so, you know, I'm very conscious that there's still people out there, you know, this morning who are displaced. And I guess the only thing I can say is that we're thinking of you. We're keeping you in our prayers and we hope that, you can find some stability soon.
Shane, thank you for sharing that. And I'm on a similar wavelength as you in regards to what's really striking me is that it's been a lot of uncertainty in the case of some folks for weeks with the storms. And for some folks who were impacted by those wildfires, it's been months of uncertainty. I'm curious, how does going through a crisis and facing uncertainty in that crisis impact our well-being?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we need to look at too is when we're looking at you know, climate change, is that it's much bigger than disasters. Of course, that these things that are you know, are sort of in our faces on the news and social media, things like fire. But I think we also have to kind of move beyond those sort of disasters and actually look at some of the things that we've seen, change in our world. For Indigenous people, for First Nations people especially, we seem to be really impacted by these types of things. Our entire cultures and identities are tied to the lands, they're tied to the rivers, they're tied to the, you know, and so, and I think of, you know, the loss of salmon, I think of the loss of habitat, I think of all of those things. And I think, you know, of course, it's difficult for me to put my place in some of these farmers who are impacted right now and who have had to go through, you know, incredible amounts of loss, but I can also relate to, you know, to not having fish every year, to not be able to go out and be on the land and harvest animals that you've harvested since, you know, you were a child or your grandparents have done for generations. So I think there's many layers to this impacts. I think, you know, even I think that we all have to be really aware of these things because there's some real impacts. And I think if we don't pay attention to them, they could, the impacts could compound and add up on us.
Yeah. Shane, so many times when we talk about dealing with stress and distress, we're encouraged to engage in self-care. You and I have talked about how things like meditation and exercise can be really useful methods like that. But we know that in these situations, it can be difficult to access self-care. So how difficult does it become to exercise self-care when you're actively going through a crisis?
You know, I just had a quick chat with my mother this morning, and one of the things that I really thought about, it was just brief conversation, but I thought, you know, when some of these people who have been dispersed, you know, when they're completely reliant on the government right now, they're completely reliant on Emergency BC services, they're reliant on them for their accommodations, they're reliant on them for their food, they're be giving passes, for a restaurant, and they have to eat at that restaurant for, you know, the entire week or the entire month. And I think of the disconnection and all of these people who are still, with these recent floods who got people, some people were in Merritt and they got evacuated. And so I think, my heart really goes out for them. And I think that, I'm just finishing school right now. And I think of how like racked my nerves are, but I couldn't imagine if I had been evacuated into two or three different hotels and I was totally reliant on, you know, the government. And so one of the things that, I'm really proud of my mother for, is that she created a space for some people of Lytton to have, and it was a virtual space, online via Zoom, and it would just give some of the community members an opportunity to connect with each other, like literally just to be like, hey, like, how are you guys today? You know, yeah, like, how are you doing?
Yeah. And Shane, along those lines, I think from the outside looking in, especially for people who are deeply empathetic, it's difficult to think about how can we help. What do you think we can do from the outside to offer some comfort or emotional support to those who are going through the suffering right now?
Yeah, I think we need to, one, be aware of it, that people are definitely still out and are still evacuees. My mother and my family have other accommodations, and so they're safe, but some people are still in hotels. And I think that, you know, immediately following, the thing like the wildfires and, you know, the most recent floods, there was probably an immediate response of financial, donations and stuff. So I think that, checking out other organizations who are providing help are a good idea. But I also think we need to press our political leadership and really show that these types of things need to be given a certain amount of weight. And we need to press our local, provincial and federal leaders that we want action now. I think for too long we've sat by and our leaders have made very incremental steps. And I think now we're at a time where we really want to, or we need to demand substantial change so that we are going to be addressing these types of things. Because if the last few years have shown us anything, is that these things are going to be happening more. And we really need to be prepared and take care of each other, because those are the stories that are coming out of Hope, that they came out of Lit. And I hate to say this, but I feel like it's our fellow citizens who really come to our rescue. And of course our government has a role to play, but I think in those moments a little bit of kindness and generosity can go a long way.
Shane, just as we're wrapping up here, and I think you've alluded to this a couple times, that we're talking about something that's ongoing with climate change and the climate crisis. As we're talking about strategies around climate change, do we need to be thinking about a robust mental health support for and strategy for people who are experiencing the trauma associated with unrelenting change?
Yeah, I think it's got to be part of it. I think, I had a conversation with my partner, and one of the things that, was kind of brought to my attention, and I feel like I kind of, miss it sometimes, is just also the role that capitalism plays. And, we're getting close to Christmas, and we can talk about capitalism and the role that, our consumption society has played. But I get back to sort of your original question. I think that we have to. I think of the youth that I've worked with out of Lytton, and I think some of them aren't even with their families. Some of them are disconnected. Some of their mothers over here, their fathers over there. And so I think that, if we don't, spend sufficient resources on addressing and managing mental health for people who have been displaced by climate change or climate disaster, then you were really doing our citizens a disservice. And I think we'll see the longer term impacts of that if we don't make those sufficient investments.
Shane, I'm so grateful that we were able to connect with you today and have this thoughtful conversation. Thank you for helping us with this.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.